This is Katie.
And this is Sarah.
We're two friends who are kind of obsessed
with a little of this
and a lot of that
and everything in between.
Hey, Katie, how are you?
Horrible. How are you?
A little bit of the same, actually, but I'm tempering that horribleness with a little bit of Pinot Grigio today.
Yes. Yeah. You are. Unfortunately, if I did that, I would pass out before all the things left to do this day, which actually sounds really appealing.
It really does. Those kids. I mean, Rory is what now? Three?
He's like 25.
He can take care of himself. I saw he has overalls on. He goes to the shitter. He is rocking it.
Not by himself. So oh, right. Sarah, I mean, full disclosure, Sarah and I have been chatting via Zoom for a while. And
yes,
in between, while we've been chatting, Rory, my three-year-old son, came over to me. And did he want to snuggle? No. Did he need to ask me a question about something substantive? No. He said, "Mommy, I need to go poop. Can you help me?" So, you know,
my only regret, Katie, is that I was not able to come in and help you parent during that time.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
But that would be fun if we were like the two moms.
Kate and Allie.
Kate and Allie, exactly. Uh-huh. Sarah and Kate.
Oh, I love Kate and Allie. I love Sarah.
So how are you? How are you?
I you know, it's a great question. It's a roller coaster of emotions, this fun quarantine. So right now I actually feel 1,000,000,000%, but positive, but with a tinge of the hatred for humanity.
Right.
How about
right.
you? How are you feeling?
I feel 100% hatred with a tinge of positivity.
I like that. Now, let's be clear. My positivity isn't for like, will I ever make money again? Or will I be successful? Is the world going to come out of this okay? It's mostly just Pinot Grigio based. I'll just be honest. Yeah,
that's fair.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes to get you through the day these days.
I mean, it's a Tuesday. So, you know, these are rough. These are rough times. Every day is a little slice of like 7-layer dip in terms of emotions. I mean, we were talking about this earlier, and I'm sure everybody who is listening has been on a Zoom call where this has been brought up. You just feel all sorts of ridiculously high emotions, low emotions, in between, indifferent. It's just such a crazy time. And watching you on Zoom right now, there is a little rocking chair or some sort of a chair right over your head that I don't know if you're in a dollhouse or if you're moving to a dollhouse, but it's very funny. But anyway,
I'm living in a dollhouse. Yeah,
so I am. Exciting. Where is it? Now, let's discuss.
It's cheaper. It's cheaper. It's cheaper because I'm not making any money right now. So you and I decided to move into a dollhouse because the rent is like a third of what our normal rent is.
But I mean, you are still in Brooklyn, right? No, I'm just kidding.
No,
that would be an expensive dollhouse.
It would. Yes.
Why don't you tell the listener where you are?
I'm in Vermont. I'm in my in-laws normally live here most of the year. Although last couple of years they don't live here during the winters. So we're here. We're occupying a 4-bedroom house. I know.
Why don't I just come there? I don't understand.
No, you could have your own. You could have your own room. We have literally 3 bathrooms. Like I feel like I'm living in a mansion.
Mansion.
It's a split level place in Manchester, Vermont. We've been here for 5 weeks. I mean, so yeah, like a legit length of time. We're thinking about coming back to Brooklyn in a couple of weeks. But we came up here primarily, you know, to have more space because the kids are home. We're all home all the time. We have a little bit of outdoor space and it's nice, but it's still, even though it's technically spring, it's, you know, it's cold here. And so it hasn't really warmed up that much at all. And a lot of time indoors, but we've been able to, you know, we go on like hikes and stuff and hikes that, you know, that 3-year-olds can actually can do. So they last, you
like
know,
Everest.
Like 10, 15 minutes, exactly, yeah. On a flat surface. But yeah, I mean, so I have a rocking chair above my head, by the way, because I'm sitting in my father-in-law's study, and he has like a miniature wooden chair set here, which is very. He also has a horse saddle in the corner, so if you ever wanted to, I don't know why. I guess he used to go horseback riding.
Okay.
He's now 91.
It might be better than like a horse head.
Yeah, that would be creepy.
Yeah, we just have the saddle.
Yeah, yeah. This, and he has boots here too. So if you ever came up here, we could like each wear a boot and throw a saddle on a horse and go a riding.
I'm not kidding. I may hop on some sort of thing because that sounds really fun. One, two. Do you miss home so much? Or
I do. I miss sort of. I mean, I do and I don't. You know, I am grateful for more space here. I miss seeing people that we know. Like I see people on Zoom, but. Yeah, it feels weird to be totally disconnected from your life. I mean, I know everybody is experiencing this, but I'm glad we're not in our apartment. Like our apartment is, you know, it's not tiny, but it's like, you know,
no.
And so with the kids around, it's just so like if it was just me and Theo, it would be fine. But like, you know, my kids are young and they just need like they have so much energy and they're just like running around all the time. So. I miss my routine. Like some days when I'm in a better mood, I feel like I miss my life. Like I like my life for the most part, you know, like, you know, you generally set up your life how you like it. You know what I mean? If you're lucky enough, and I like my neighborhood and I like my daily interactions and, my, you know, all that stuff. How about you?
Well, I was just thinking whilst you were talking, because I'm not listening to you, about us. We were in Miami.
I know.
That's all I have to say. I just wanted to just say that. And that was a really lovely time. I feel totally weird. Just like my life is still going on the same, like where, you know, you and I are both still running our businesses and we're both still very much in contact with our staff and our families and our friends. It just feels like there's so much emotional and physical distance that for somebody like me, who, I mean, I just like need constant, like I like physical contact. And, you know, as a single gal, like it's just, as I was telling you earlier, like I just really need a hug. And I think that's the thing that I miss the most, because I'm getting so much support really from, you know, my friends, my family, my staff, my clients, my, you know, you fall into all of those except for my staff and my client.
I'm definitely a client.
But you are my family and my friend. And you gave me a virtual hug earlier, and I think I lied and said it was sort of the same. It wasn't, it was not the same. That I miss. That I miss the most. Like I very much am enjoying a little bit of the alone time. But yeah, it gets old, and my dog is not much of a snuggler anymore. So he's just a growler. So
taking him for walks though. I mean, cause you never really walk.
I just take him outside. Yeah. He's 1,004. So he either, I literally, the second he wakes up from any of his 45 hour naps, I just pick him up because who knows what he could do. He's 17. Mm-hmm. And we just rush outside. I put him down. He like sniffs, looks around, pees, poops, and we go back in. Like he doesn't like go. We don't go for walks. But
you see the, there's a little video of these people who tied a rope to their dog and lowered him down off of their balcony, didn't have to leave their apartment or whatever, like lowered him down, attached to this rope, like let him walk around, and then just like pulled his ass up.
Oh my God, that's kind of amazing. I don't know if you know this though about me, I have an irrational fear that my dog will die from falling off of a rooftop. So and last night, in fact, he fell off of my bed. And this is exactly how he's going to go, because he's so like, I feel like he's thrusting him. I feel like he might just be suicidal. He thrust himself down a flight of stairs in my lobby. He literally jumped off of my bed, which is not low, to the ground. And he's an 8-pound chihuahua. So that makes me laugh, but it also makes me obviously very nervous. I'm not okay.
I would probably die if I fell off your bed.
Yes, you would. Well, I would push you. But what do you see, if anything, as sort of like the upside of this situation? And that says it all.
I'm just kidding. I mean, I think it is a period of transformation for a lot of people. I think, you know, it's such an unusual thing and period of time that it sort of forces people to think about, you know, where they're at in life, what's coming next, whether on a very personal level or sort of maybe where you are in the world. And I think a lot of good can come out of that. You know, I think transformations are difficult. They can be very difficult. I think they can be very painful and long. But in the end, there's always something good that comes out of it. You know. So you're giving me a look like,
oh, that was so good. I really feel better.
Do you? Yeah.
I know, it's true.
Yeah, I mean, I do think, you know, the people showing, you know, their humanity to each other online or however they can and stuff. I mean, it helps. I mean, I have to admit I'm having a hard time staying optimistic about a lot of stuff, but you know, I definitely have moments where I feel optimistic.
You know, I have taken up during this, this has not been a break, by the way. For any of you who have ever met me and Katie, and we're not on a break. There's a lot of hard work and even more of at least I can speak for myself, like this dark cloud of like, what does our business look like after all of this? And but I have taken up bike riding in New York City, which
I'm so jealous.
I can't tell you, Katie, I have gloves, I have a face covering, you know, it is, I'm very safe, but it gives me the most joy I have found in a very long time, seeing the trees in Central Park, seeing one person. Which I actually like that. I will never bike when this all ends, because there are people who think in Central Park that the Tour de France is happening and they scare the crap out of me, and I'm not a fan, but it has just been the most amazing personal solo thing that I have done throughout this. And, I have loved every second of it. And I think that our city is so beautiful and passionate and, compassionate. It's just, that's been a really, amazing part of this, but, it doesn't take away all of my fear.
Do you hear that landline?
I do. I've heard of a landline.
Yes.
That's a lie. I remember a landline.
I have the one landline. My in-laws have the one landline that exists in the United States, and it's ringing right now.
Is my high school boyfriend calling?
Yes. No, that's my high school.
Oh, boyfriend. Right. Yeah.
I mean, I've always loved biking, and I was thinking about this the other day, because I know you've been biking, and I genuinely am jealous. Like, I think being able to bike in a city like New York when there's no traffic and no people is got to be the coolest thing. I mean, and maybe when we get back to the city, I could go biking with you. To the sides of the street or something. But
that's so fun.
Yeah, that would be really fun.
I love it.
How far? Like, how many blocks do you get? Like,
I bike from 78th and First to all the way. I do a loop around the park and then bike back. So it's like almost 7 miles.
Wow.
And when I get to go with my one or two friends, they are married. They're a married couple. So very rarely, but in a good way, I'll go and bike with one or both of them. And we are very far apart, again, with all of the safety precautions taken. after, there are a few bars open in our hood that have like window service, and we will go up and have. I had a frosé the other day, and I had an Aperol spritz on the street, and it was, it made me very, very happy. And not just because it's alcohol, it just felt like a normal, happy thing to do.
Yeah.
So it was really nice.
I'm recording a podcast, Dylan.
Did you get the?
She does not care.
No, she shouldn't. What's up, Dylan? Nailed it.
Okay, so
yeah, go,
mommy.
Yes.
Did you bring the buy the pack of the pack with the nail the file and then the?
I didn't buy it. No. Yeah. Sorry.
Wow.
So
wow. The dash of young girl's dreams. You all saw it.
They are my my nieces are came up for a few days and are staying with us, my twin nieces, and they are helping us with the kids.
How old are they?
They're 20. And so they're in college, but they're obviously, you know, taking class remotely. And today they planned a spa day with the kids. So the kids are upstairs with cucumber slices on their eyes. And
can they come to my apartment after?
Well, when I found out they were doing a spa day, I was like, great. So you, each of you is taking a turn giving me a massage. That sounds amazing. Thank you.
Okay. I do not mean to go off on another tangent, but you and I were talking before about how 90 Day Fiancé has maybe crept into our quarantine. And I was watching an episode where one of the schmucks who his bride is Filipino, she's lovely, beautiful. Oh, no, Thai, pardon me. She's Thai and she's fabulous. And the American is not well off. And so he's going to move in with his rich friends in LA for a little while when they come back to the States. And the rich friend asks the Thai woman, while you're at my house, can you cook Thai food? Can you give me Thai massage by my pool?
Oh my God.
And she was like, and no, sir. Thank you very much. But, I would ask your nieces to do, I would ask anybody, you know?
Oh, I mean, I would pay so much money for a massage right now. I mean, it would be, yeah, insane. So like, what's your obsession right now, by the way?
Oh, gosh. Well,
by the way,
this little show that we do, is it's in the title. We have to talk about it. Well, one thing that has totally been getting me through this whole situation, I've been sheltering at home with a lot of Kelly Clarkson.
Really?
I've always been a massive fan of Kelly Clarkson. For any of you who have ever Googled me, I was actually in a Kelly Clarkson video. I only was in a Kelly Clarkson video because I worshiped Kelly Clarkson. I don't even think anybody's ever heard of the song, and I didn't dance in it. So, yeah.
What did you do in it? I've never seen that.
So proud. I acted like a rich person in it. And we like sat at this big banquet table, and I wore very preppy clothes, and like my hair was straight. I had a headband, and I make very big reaction.
What's the name of the song?
The song is called I Do Not Hook Up. A lot of people don't know it, but Google it. It'll change your
mind. Oh, hell yeah. We're all Googling it.
And, but so anyway, so she's been doing really, she's been singing from her bathroom in her Montana cabin, and she is just the cutest person ever, and she does not give one fuck. She, like, doesn't wear makeup. She is so real about, like, the plumbing froze in her cabin, and so she was peeing in her kids' like potty. And I just love every single thing about her. And I found out during this quarantine that one of my friends from LA actually works on the show, and I'm like, you work on the Kelly Clarkson show? I'm sure she asks about me.
But, she has a talk show or whatever.
She has a talk show, and she's so, I just love every single thing about her. I don't even know. She
like Oprah, where she like wanders around the audience and like gets them to ask questions and stuff.
Okay, or
like,
no,
they do that anymore.
Last time you watched a talk show was in 1987.
I don't watch talk shows.
That same thing. I don't really watch her talk show. I have to say, but not out of, and I don't watch The Voice.
Wait, what was the name? Hold on. What was the name of the one, Phil? What was the white hair that had that talk
Donahue?
Show? Phil Donahue.
Oh my God.
Whoa. Phil Donahue. Reggie. Wait, no, Reggie. What was the Ricky Lake? Ricky Lake.
Ricky Lake was amazing. I'm sorry. That was the jam. I mean, she's Kelly's no Jerry Springer. She is all about like yummy and happy and drinking. And, you know, she did say in an interview, somebody asked her how often she has sex, and she says every night before she goes to sleep. And I like her.
With her husband?
Yes.
I think I read like, that.
I was single for so long and didn't have sex for a long time.
Yeah.
I'm having sex every night.
How old is she?
Maybe 30. Hold on. How old is Kelly Clarkson?
Kelly Clarkson is 37 years old.
Mm.
Yeah.
I didn't know you were staying with somebody. And he's just your type.
He's so my type. Oh my God. I wish I was staying with him. He is knowledgeable and sexy voice. God, are you Purelling right now?
No. Oh. No. I'm just playing with my
stuff. Yikes.
Yeah, he's got a British accent. He's very smart, and there's no risk of getting coronavirus from him, so he's a perfect mate right now.
He really is. Let me tell you something. If I was living with a hot Brit, give me the corona.
Remember with that kid from Miami who said that, who's like, remember when the outbreak first happened and he was caught on TV saying, "We don't care if we get coronavirus. Oh. We're going to party."
Oh, yeah, no. Like, No, sorry. I mean, like, if I already had a boyfriend before all of this started.
Right.
And, like my Idris Elba to his wife, yeah. Sabrina, like, if I was in that sort of situation. No, I don't mean no. I am not going to party anywhere. And that's why I need a virtual hug every freaking 5 minutes.
All right. Well, let's all give Sarah a virtual hug.
Aww. Well, I actually think that we're going to bring our peeps a virtual hug by way of our guest today, don't you?
Yeah, I know. Totally. I'm excited to talk to Dina. Now, you brought her on the show. You know her from where?
One of my very favorite people on the planet, Vicky, had a soiree, and she had this amazing woman who you guys will get a chance to speak with, but you'll get to listen to it, to her house, and she read our tarot, and she does all sorts of intuitive things in a way to read your present, your past, and your future. And I have been following her on Instagram ever since, and she's just so positive, and she's just a light. And I'm so happy that she could be with us today to hopefully impart some of that kindness and humanity on us as we all, you know, day drink.
Totally. And I'm curious to hear what she has to say, because I don't know a ton about tarot and charms and stuff like that. So, and I know that a lot of people are into it, and I definitely think it, you know, can play a role in helping you learn about, you know, who you are and what you want in life and stuff like that. So I'm looking forward to talking to her.
But let me tell you, I'll take all the help I can get during this, little shelter at home situation. Anybody wants to tell me anything, I'm buying it. I'm buying it now. Have you bought anything, by the way? Sorry.
Well, No, not really. I mean, it's hard to get anything. I mean, I think I bought some clothes for the kids online. Have you? I mean, the idea of online shopping is appealing. I guess like, what have you bought?
Well, I was eyeing something over the holidays, and I guess my grubby little trigger finger totally went off, and I bought a pair of silk pajamas. And nice. I've never been. I mean, what?
You have them? Did you get them?
I got them. I love them.
Perfect, though. That's a great, because you know you're at home a lot.
Yes.
Like, what better thing to have than silk pajamas?
But they also are like the reviews. The reason that pushed me over the edge, and we will get to our guest in a second, is that the reviews were like, I can wear these overnight. I mean, I can wear them to sleep, or I can wear them out. And I was like, versatile. And they have slits up the sides of the leg, so that they're even more comfortable. So you can like, and they're washable silk. Shout out to Lunya, Lunya. These are amazing, and they go really well with a good white claw.
Nice. And you can wear them to both daytime and evening Zoom calls.
Absolutely. You get me. Well, business
Zoom calls and personal Zoom calls.
Yeah.
What color are they?
they're black. But
wow. Wait,
that's better. The straps on the cami top, it's a T-strap, and they are nude.
Very cute.
Thank you. Tell a friend. Tell all your single friends.
I will.
Tell all your single friends to single friends. And then just let it keep going. So sad. Well, you know what? Enough of us. Should we bring Dean on?
Let's do it. Let's do the interview.
Well, hey, everybody. I am super excited. We are back. And our first guest during this amazing stay-at-home quarantine is probably a person I'm most excited to talk to, especially during this time. Her name is Dina Barron, and she is a multi-passionate, self-proclaimed tarot-based, but astrologist. She does numerology. She uses charm, and she's intuitive. I have gone to her for a reading, actually two times now. She is also a co-active life coach, which we will find out more about, but I can't think of a warmer virtual hug than to have this woman on our show. So let's all welcome Dina Barron. Thank you, Dina, so much for coming on.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
Before we get into your full background, which I'm sure we will, you know, weave in and out of, tell me how are you feeling throughout this as being somebody who is, I feel like you're a nerve ending for life and for emotions. How is this entire pandemic affecting you as just a human person before we get into the rest of what you do?
Well, thank you for asking. And you know what? It's funny. I feel as though I'm going through this wave of emotions just like everyone else is. And I've been actually speaking with and connecting with and just like trying to find community within this whole experience. And it's funny, I was listening to, I think I was either reading an article or listening to a podcast, and somebody mentioned, you know, the five stages of grief, which was introduced by this famous, now deceased psychiatrist. Her name was Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. And what she did is she said that, you know, the five stages of grief, the first stage is denial. Like, you know, no way is this actually happening kind of thing. And then the second stage is kind of like bargaining, like, okay, if this is going to happen, then, you know, I'll trade this off kind of thing. Like, I don't want to have to deal with this, losing all these things, you know. Then you realize that you are going to be losing your freedoms or whatever it is that you've lost. So then there's this stage of anger. So the third stage is anger. Like, I'm so pissed. I'm so angry that I'm going through this. And then after the anger comes like the depression, like, oh, this is really sinking in. I'm really feeling this. And then the final stage of the five stages of grief is acceptance. Like, okay, this is the new normal. I'm going to have to find my way. And I feel as though I have been vacillating between these five stages, just like many of the people that I've been talking with. And I feel as though when I share this with them, they're like, oh my God, that is so true. Like, I go through those five stages like every 10 minutes. Like, do I have to be in just one stage every day? I'm like, no, you can be, you know, all over the map, whatever. And people are very much resonating with that. And it was funny. And then I read another article about someone who wrote a book. I think his name is David Kessler. He wrote a book about the sixth stage of grief. And the sixth stage...
Is that horniness?
That could be. But here you go. The sixth stage is finding meaning.
Oh.
Which I feel as though, you know, that makes so much sense. And that really connects to where I am. That really connects to, I feel as though, my role in this whole situation. Like, I really am, like, I'm offering for the month of April, I'm offering free tarot classes because, hey, it's my birthday month. And what better thing to do than to give a gift on your birthday month? So I've been offering a free tarot class every week. And I've also been offering a free coaching class, like, not a free coaching class, it's a discussion. I come with a topic and I kind of like throw it out there and people share. And I tell everybody this is a safe space. So whatever you say will be kept here. And there's been a lot of really powerful moments in these calls. So I feel as though my role in this whole experience, I feel so privileged to be where I am. I feel so privileged to be able to serve people, to be able to kind of just take the temperature and hear like what's happening out there and be like, you know what? I'm going to try this and see how this works. And I've done the coaching calls for about like 4 weeks now. And I have a little bit of a, like a solid group that comes, you know, it's not a huge group, but I feel so much love from them. And I feel as though that is really what's pushing me forward. So as a intuitive, as someone that kind of gives advice to other people, I find tremendous richness in people's humanity. At 7 o'clock at night, how everyone goes out on their terraces and sticks their head outside their window and starts clapping and applauding for all of the heroes, for all of the essential workers that are putting their lives on the line for us every day. Like 7 o'clock is like happy hour here, you know, forget whatever happy hour used to be. This is now the new happy hour. So I feel as though, as much as I am feeling the sadness and the pain, I'm also feeling the joy and the resilience, which is so heartening.
Yeah.
Is there some sort of like change that you feel like is going to happen from this? Like, can you talk a little bit about how you feel like society and cultures have reached this point and it's sort of a shift in the universe? I mean, I don't really know, I guess, what I'm getting at, but do you feel like this is a turning point for people overall or for yourself even?
Well, I do feel as though there's a big turning point. I do feel as though, I'm going to tell you an astrological reason why in 1 second, but I do feel as though we are kind of walking into a new normal, and I just don't know that we'll be ever going back to what we used to know. I think that...
I mean, that's where the grief... That's where those six stages of grief come in, right?
Right, and they're finding meaning, and people are going to do things differently. So let me bring you back to the time of when our constitution, when our country was born. So there is a phenomenon. So every year, you know, not every year, but there has what we call like an amount of time that it takes for it to make one evolution around the sun. Like, so for example, your birthday every year is your solar return. And what your solar return means is that your sun returns to the same place that it was on the day that you were born. So every year, on that same date, you celebrate your birthday, which is also your solar return. Now, that's just one of the many celestial bodies in the sky that we look at. Now, there is a very, very powerful planet called Pluto. And Pluto is a planet of transformation. It's a planet of rebirth. It's a planet of disruption. It's a planet of death. When Pluto shows up, we're raising the building, like we're flattening it. Like we're going to just start from scratch. Like, so when Pluto comes, he says, you know what? We're going to just like rip this all apart and we're going to rebuild. We're going to unknit this sweater and we're going to put it together in a totally different way. So in 1776, when our country was born, Pluto was wherever it was in the sky. Now it takes 247 years for Pluto to make one revolution around the sun. So unlike your solar return that takes 1 year, our country is experiencing our Pluto return. Now, what does Pluto do when it comes back? So what happened 247 years ago? Our country kind of, you know, separated itself from England, and we built a constitution, and we were like a baby nation, and we basically started, you know, being the United States of America. So what's happening is now is we are establishing our Pluto return, and everything that Pluto does is coming back now to kind of, you know, shake things up and say, hey, remember me? I'm here. I'm back to the same place that I was when we all started this whole thing. So Pluto is saying it's time to reset. Pluto is saying, you know, the way that we've been doing things, we need to find a new way. And while it can be very disruptive and very unsettling, what happens is eventually when all the dust settles, and Pluto will not be leaving the position that it's in right now until about 2024. So I'm not saying that this is going to be, you know, a 2-second thing. This is, we're going to be in this for a little bit, and it's going to be a bumpy ride. But I think that when we're done, we're going to be a different nation. We're going to be a different society. We're going to be a different collective. And what's happening is change doesn't happen overnight. And in order to have a breakthrough, sometimes you need to have a breakdown. And because Pluto is in Capricorn, and Capricorn rules the financial markets, it can also rule health and wellness and illnesses. It's like a perfect storm. So our country is going through a rebirth, through like a regeneration, and our financial markets, and there's, you know, a health aspect happening. So if you look at the astrology, it's all right there. So do I think that things are going to go back to the way they were? I'm trying to figure out your exact question. Do I think things are going to change? I do. I do, because I think that Pluto will have it no other way. Pluto doesn't play. Pluto doesn't ask, would you like this? Pluto says, we're doing this. You're coming on board. And he kind of like ropes you in and pulls you through. So that's pretty much where we are.
Well, that is exactly how it feels, for sure. Like, take no prisoners kind of a thing. Before I get to the answer of a question that I have that I think will make the world feel better, why don't you take us back into how you got into what it is that you do?
Sure. So I'm going to take you like far back. I'm going to take you all the way back. So, but not for too long. So when I was a little girl, my grandmother, my mother's mother, was very interested in astrology. And she would talk about people like they were their astrological sign. She's like, oh, well, Scorpio, what do you expect from them, kind of thing. And I was like, what does that mean, kind of thing. And she'd be like, oh, well, you know, because she's a Leo. She did that. And I'm like, what does that mean? Like, so I feel as though I was, my grandmother would always kind of talk about people, and I'm just like, can you explain that kind of thing? So I started my education in astrology when I was a little girl. And for as long as I can remember, it was always intriguing for me. I mean, I was always interested in the psychics that were on the boardwalk. I was always interested in reading my astrology in the New York Post if my dad brought it home. Like, I was just always so curious and so interested. So I didn't want to go back to school for like a master's degree or anything like that. I just wanted to get a break, completely honestly. And I found a class on tarot. So I'm like, there's my class. And every Monday night, this teacher taught tarot from 6 to 9 p.m. on Monday night. And I started going. And it became my regular Monday night thing. Every Monday night from 6 to 9 p.m., I would go to class. And one thing led to another. And I went to class every Monday night for over 8 years.
Oh.
And what my teacher would do is every time the new year would turn, it was like a rotisserie chicken, he would change how he taught it. So his approach was a little different. So now we're going to talk about tarot from the symbols and images in the card. And now we're going to talk about tarot from the astrological background. Now we're going to talk about tarot from the title of the card. So it was like you were always learning something new, which is why I just kept on going back to class, because he just kept on feeding me new information. And I am just a sponge. I just want to learn. So as long as he was teaching me, I was showing up. And then my interest in tarot led me to taking classes in astrology and taking classes in numerology. And I studied palmistry for a minute. And I just... I'm so interested, like anything in the world of divination is curious to me. Mm-hmm. And I just want to know more. So I feel as though, even though I am a reader and a teacher, I consider myself a lifelong student as well.
Can you tell us a little bit about what tarot is?
Sure. Well, tarot is a 78 card deck. And there are one of every card in it, just like there are in a normal deck of cards. Now, the tarot deck that I read is a traditional Rider-Waite deck, actually read the Universal Weight, but it's a traditional weight deck, which is a weight meaning W-A-I-T. That's the name of the creator of it. And it has very traditional images in the cards. There are four suits, like any normal card deck, but instead of having diamonds, hearts, clubs, and spades, my four suits are pentacles, cups, wands, and swords. So of each of those suits, I have an ace through a 10, and then I have a page, a knight, a king, and a queen. And in addition to those 56 cards, I have 22 additional cards that I call my major arcana. Now, the four suits we call the minor arcana. Arcana is another word for secrets. So the minor arcana are the little secrets. The major arcana are the big secrets. And the major arcana is where all of, like, a lot of the real magic is really happening in the deck, which is where there's so much depth and meaning. So those 22 cards are like a whole system within themselves. But so that's what the tarot deck is consisted of. It's the four suits and the 22 major arcana together. They create the tarot deck, and you use them by, you know, there are symbols and meanings and colors. Like, each card is like an onion. It's got layers. So there's superficial meanings, and then there's deeper meanings. And how you read the cards is, I mean, you could read the cards alone. You could read the cards in combination. You could read them in a spread. You can read them, you know, with other divination tools. Everyone reads differently. So what
makes a good tarot reader?
What makes a good tarot reader? Someone who is insightful. Someone who, and it's funny because my original tarot teacher, and I've studied with a few tarot teachers over the years, but the original teacher that I work with said to me, you must come from a place of love. So I feel as though what makes a good tarot reader is someone who is always trying to find a way to open their heart and to share the information in the most positive and helpful way. I feel as though these women that say, oh, you need someone to pray for you, or you, someone put a curse on you, you need me to kind of like lift that. I feel as though that to me is not in the spirit of what tarot is meant.
That wouldn't work for me because I'm putting curses on Sarah like every day. Every day.
Well, then
I don't know if Katie has ever come from a place of love.
I don't even know what that means. That was gonna be my next question.
Where is
the love you talk about?
Poor Katie. I literally cannot wait, Dina, for you to like pull some cards for Katie. But in your
I did it at a party I went to.
I told you this.
How was your experience?
It was good. I think that was the first time, maybe the second. But it was good. I asked a specific question. I thought the answer was relevant and made sense to me. So yeah, I had a good experience with it.
Good.
Is there, Dina, do you prefer if people have a specific question? I know we have actually done a reading two times, and I have had a specific question once, and I have not had a question at all. Does that matter?
Well, if you do, so the thing is, it's funny. Sometimes you ask the tarot question and it answers with, like, I feel as though it answers with what they want you to know. So sometimes you'll get a very common question is like, oh, am I going to get back together with my ex? Or, you know, is he going to call? Or, like, you know, you get questions like that.
Those were not my questions, by
They're
the
not.
Way.
They were not your questions.
Those were not my questions.
But as I told you, like, I feel like it's also my job.
Like me?
I also feel like it's my job to guide people. Like, for example, like, I really prefer not to answer a yes-no question because I feel as though it goes one or two ways and then we're done. But how about if we ask instead, like, what do I need to know about, you know, my job right now? Or what do I need to know about, you know, my relationship with X? Or kind of like asking, you know, what do I need to know? So we can kind of like open it up and see what comes in. So sometimes somebody will ask me a question and I'll say, how about this instead? And they'll be like, oh, all right. Or they'll be like, well, I don't know if that answers it in the way that I want. And I'm like, all right, well, let's try to work with it. Like, what exactly are you looking for? So, and sometimes the people just don't know. I have a different technique that I use, and just, I get information, you know, from my own little technique.
Ooh. What do you say to cynics, people who think that this is all just mishigas and silly and all of that?
Well, you know what? I'm not here to convince them. I feel as though everyone's entitled to their own opinion. I'm going to tell you that I don't think that, you know, everything in this world is perfect, and there's things that I'm for and things that I'm not. And I understand that it's irritating when things that I'm not for, when people are like, well, you should be for that. Well, yeah. I'm not. So that's the end of it, you know? So I feel as though I'm not here to convince people otherwise. If they're interested in knowing more about it, I'm happy to talk about it. I mean, I've done events where people come sat down with me. They're like, well, you know, I really don't do this. And I'm really not into this. And I don't like it. And I'm like, well, do you want a reading? Well, okay. And then, you know, it's like, I've done that. And I'm like, okay, I'm at a party and I'm supposed to be moving it along like 10 minutes per person. I'm like, I'm so sorry, but I'm like, you've been in my seat for 20 minutes. I'm like, you can take my card and call me, or we got to wrap this up. You know, for someone that wasn't interested, you're really interested.
Well, it doesn't seem to me like it really purports to be magical, but it seems more like a tool, right?
It's a tool.
Have a better understanding of, you know, your life in whatever regard you want. You know, it's not like you touch the cards and it's like, oh, you know, like unicorns and, you know, stars come out of it. It's like, it seems like, you know, you use it, you know, you take it for what it's worth and you, I don't know. That's
it's
sort
interpretive.
Of
it's very much like, I mean, I really look at the cards that come up and I look at colors and I look at images and I look at their astrological association and I look at their function if there is one. Like I look at a lot of different things. Like for example, the Emperor card. The function of the Emperor card is sight. So when that comes up, I might say to someone, what are you not seeing? Where are you not paying attention? Like what are you not looking at or seeing clearly? And they'll be like, well, what do you mean by that? How did you find that? And like, well, this is the function of the card. Or like the Hierophant is listening. So I might say to someone, you have to stop talking and do more listening. You have to pay closer attention to what people are saying. Or, you know, how much listening are you doing and how much talking are you doing, kind of thing. So it's like sometimes using the actual functions of the card as a message as well.
Yeah.
In terms of what we were talking about earlier in how our world, our particular country is so young in its inception and 246 years, this will happen to it. Are you seeing for all of the change and all of the loss and the negative that will come, that is happening right now, do you see positivity at the end of this, whether it be in 6 months, a year, 4 years, like you said, that this isn't going to, or I guess it's 2023, so 3 years. Like what do the cards tell you about that? Or the planets and all of that?
In other words, is Joe Biden going to win the election or not?
Well, you know what? I don't make political predictions and that's why I'm here. But you know what? I think that, in addition to our Pluto return happening, there is something called, so what happens is when two planets cross, they're called conjunctions. And we're in the middle right now of Pluto crossing Jupiter. So Pluto crossed Jupiter earlier this month. It's going to cross Jupiter again at the end of June. And it's going to cross it again right about the week after the election. And I feel as though, so Pluto, as I described, is like a human wrecking ball. And Jupiter is expansiveness. Jupiter is growth. Jupiter is a benefic. Jupiter is a positive planet. So I feel as though what this is saying is this year, we already got, and a lot's been happening. Like April's been a busy month. And I think that, and we're going to have this again at the end of June. And we're going to have this again at the beginning of November. And what's going to happen is through this challenging time, there's also going to be tremendous growth. So to answer your question, I do think we're going to be okay. I think that it's going to take a little time. I think that just life takes time. Like, you know, you can't force time. And I feel as though we need to kind of live through what we're living through in order to make sure we learn the lesson and don't go back and do it again.
Yeah. If only our leadership.
I know our leadership is.
Get a grip sort of on how to function in that way, which is that I think I can only obviously speak for myself, but that's been a concern throughout this time, is how quickly will we come back into regular life? I use air quotes because who even knows what that is, in terms of controlling what's happening right now. And, you know, I do understand that regular life isn't going to look the way it did before, but how can we get back to, and this is more rhetorical, really. I'm not really asking anybody in particular, but this is what has been concerning me. Like how do we get back into going to restaurants and meeting new people and going to the movies? Like, are these things that are just gone with the wind? I don't know. I mean,
I think that's more about like science, in my opinion. It seems like that's like right when a vaccine is developed.
Right.
And it comes with time. So a combination of getting control of the spread of the virus. And then also, I think what's almost equally important is people's psyche around it, you know, yes. And feeling comfortable. Even after a vaccine is developed, I think there'll be a number of people, particularly, you know, paranoia tendencies and OCD tendencies and stuff like that, that this will probably last a lifetime for them, and will change how they move around in the world for forever. I know you weren't asking me.
Well, yeah, please.
But, that's my interpretation.
Yes. No, I mean, I wasn't meaning to ask like the universe, if the universe thinks that Donald Trump is doing a poor job. But that really where my sort of sensitivity to all of this comes beyond the health issues is, or in addition to the health issues, because I don't really feel frantic about getting it so much as I do my parents or other people. But just will he lead us in a way that brings us back too quickly? And then there's another surge of it and that kind of thing. Like I don't feel safe in the arms of our
current
president.
Leader. I hear you. Yeah. I hear you. And I feel as though the answer to that is vote.
Yes.
The answer to that is to not stay silent and to do everything, whether that's donate money, donate your time, donate your voice, whatever it is, you can't stay silent because this election is just too big.
Yeah.
Do you do your own readings pretty frequently?
You know what? I pull a tarot card every day. That's been my practice. And sometimes what I do is I'll sit with it and I'll just take some notes, like whatever kind of jumped out about it for me for the day. And then I kind of carry it with me. And sometimes I usually do that in the morning. And then sometimes if I have time, I don't always have time, but I'll revisit it at the end of the night. I'm like, oh, what was the card I pulled today? What did I notice about it? And I'll be like, oh, that's interesting. Or, you know, sometimes, but I don't do like a full on reading for myself every day. And it's funny, I do hesitate sometimes because I mean, not everybody believes in the tarot, but I do. So for example, I was going through something with my daughter and it just seemed like there wasn't an answer. There just wasn't an answer. And I was just like, I need something, like I need something to hold on to. Mm-hmm. And I kind of resisted doing, you know, taking out my deck because I'm thinking if I pull a card and I don't like the message, then what do I got? You know? So anyway, but I did. I eventually did pull out the cards and I did shuffle. And when I pulled over the card, when I turned over the card, it was the sun.
Oh.
And there really is no more positive card in the deck than the sun. And the only thing that I got, like I wasn't going to do a huge reading over it. All that told me was, it's going to be okay. And it took about 3 months and it was okay. But I felt like pulling that card was what kind of kept me going over those next 3 months, because I didn't know when my answer would come. And right. I found comfort in that.
And can you tell us what charms are? I've never heard of this before. So yes. You practice charms?
Charms are like, they're like one of my favorite things. So I'm going to try to tilt them. And I'm sorry for those that are listening and not able to see. I have a teacup full with, and charms are basically, you know, something that you would put around your neck. These are, you know, and I'm going to tilt my little bowl. So these are all little, like, for example, I'm just going to pull them and pull you, tell you what I'm saying out loud. This is a crown. Mm-hmm. Okay. Here's another charm. This is a fan. Ooh. I'm going to pull another charm. This is an Indian head. This to me looks a lot like Nefertiti.
Yeah.
Like a African goddess or an African queen. What else do I have here? This is what I call a sugar skull. It's a skull with a little flower at the top of it. You see these a lot in Mexico, kind of like a Dia de los Muertos, kind of like seize the day. And I'll just pull one more for you. This is a life raft.
Oh.
So, for example, if I were to pull one of these charms for you, so now you have a few choices. Katie, I'm going to let you choose which charm you'd like for me to read for you. So we have the Nefertiti. We have the crown. We have the fan. We have the skull, the sugar skull. We have the Indian. And we have the life raft. You can pick one.
Crown.
The crown. Okay. Okay. So here is, I read the charm. I read it together with the other person who is working with me. So the first question that I ask is, what is this item? And you say, it's a crown. And I say, great. I said, tell me what its function is in the world.
It designates who rules.
It designates who rules. So tell me, do you have any personal connection or association with the crown or its meaning?
I'm waiting for season 3.
Of the crown?
It's yes. On. Season 3 is on. You mean whatever, season 4.
I blew that.
So you really like the crown on TV?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, what was the question? I'll answer for real.
So the questions were, first you ask, what is this item? Second question is, what is its function in the world? And the third question is, what is your personal connection or association with this?
I don't know if I have a personal connection or association with it. I don't know how to answer that question.
Okay. Well, a crown does signify leadership, rulership, but the crown also does signify responsibility and obligation and duty. Mm-hmm. And I feel as though he or she who wears the crown, they may be in a position of privilege, but they are also in a position of responsibility. So my question to you is, where are you in a position of privilege, but also in a position of responsibility? And what might you do to earn your privilege of wearing this crown?
Sarah, I'll toss this one to you.
I mean, to me, it's so obvious.
I guess at work I have a lot of responsibilities, I feel, and also a lot of privilege.
So you're in this time right now. So you're in a place where a lot of people are losing their jobs. A lot of people are afraid. If they still do have their jobs, they don't know how much longer they will have their jobs. Mm-hmm. And what can you do? I mean, if you are employing others, so your job may not be necessarily at risk, but maybe you are in a position of expressing kindness or comfort to others in their concern for their stability, their financial stability, and their, you know, just like their whole world. I feel like a lot of people, their whole lives function because they have the money in order to, you know, pay their rent or, you know, pay for their phone or whatever it is. And then all of a sudden, you don't have your job. You're like, well, can I afford to pay my rent? Well, can I afford to keep my phone? Well, can I afford, you know, all of a sudden, like, it trickles down. And so in your position of wearing this crown and in the people that you come into contact every day, how can you take your responsibility and nobly wear that crown?
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Things turn serious with the charms. It's fun. It's fun, but it's like all of a sudden, you know, yeah. It puts me in a position of being able to ask questions. And the charm is not so much about answers. It's more about me asking you questions and then you coming up with your own answers.
Right.
Because very often,
that's what I feel about it. Yeah.
Your answers are a lot more powerful than whatever I could come up with.
Right.
Agreed. Should we pull some cards?
Would love to.
I mean,
so do we have a question or do we just want to just see what the cards have to tell us, or tell me what you think?
I don't have a question at all. Well, or I have 5,000 questions.
Why don't you do one? Because I just, I did the charm.
She got put the spot with the charm.
Yeah. I know.
But you got you picked the best one. I mean, if I could think of a Katie charm, it is a flipping crown. I'll tell you right now. And I love it. I love her interpretation of it. It was perfect. Sorry.
Why not Nefertiti?
Pull me a card. Pull me a card, girl.
All right. You know what I'm going to do? I'm mixing the cards. I want you to tell me when to stop mixing.
Stop.
Okay. Now I have my deck here. And I'm going to ask you to give me a number between 1 and 10.
8.
8. I'm going to count down to the 8th card. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And this is the card we pulled. We pulled the 7 of Wands. Now, before I talk about the 7 of Wands, I'm going to talk about the number 8. So what does the number 8 mean? So this is kind of a way for me to do a little bit of a double reading within a reading. 8 is a little bit of numerology. 7 of Wands is the tarot card we pulled. So to me, 8s are a time when you are preparing to shed a skin. It is a time when you're ready to move up and move on. And not everything in your current life is coming with you. 8s are a time when you feel like the change is here, and I think that you've wanted change. Maybe you've wanted change for a while. And I think that this happens a lot with people. They want change. They want change. They want change. And then all of a sudden, when change becomes like a real thing, they get like deer in the headlights. They get very terrified. They're like, oh my God, it's change. I'm like, yeah, that's what you've been wanting. So the 8 can sometimes be that deer in the headlights moment when you realize it's time for you to move up and move on. But the 8,
hi, Katie.
The 8 to me also represents hard work. And I feel as though you have been preparing for this for quite some time. You are ready for prime time.
You just made her year.
So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to combine that number 8 with our card, which is the 7 of Wands. Now, the Wands are one of my four suits that I mentioned to you before. The Wands are the suit of fire, the element of fire, and they are all about creativity and ideas. They move quickly. And the 7 of Wands, if you look, it has one man holding a wand, and it's like there are 6 other wands, like almost coming at him from below. You can't see, but people are holding those wands. And I feel that what this represents is competition. This shows that you are in a place right now where you feel as though you are fighting for your place in the world. And you have an advantage. You are on top. And even though your competition is literally nipping at your heels, you are running at the front of the pack. So what my advice to you would be is don't look back, don't look down, just worry about moving forward. So as you're moving up and moving on, know that a little guardian angel is sitting on your shoulder. You're a cat and you're going to land on your feet you're going to be just fine.
Well, if that's not the most delightful little card, I'll tell you right now, I could put that around my neck and wear it around. And Katie, I'm just kidding. You are my up. So I'm not leaving you. Yeah, you're stuck with me, kid. That's so awesome. I mean, look, I have been going and I have 8 different horoscopes that I read every day. Where do you stand on that?
Well, I like to see, like,
not my like affection for 8, but I mean, just in terms of horoscopes.
Well, I follow a lot of different astrologers, both on, you know, on Instagram and on YouTube. And I'm always like playing with watching different things and seeing what different people have to say. So I feel as though that to me is less about what's happening for me, but more about what's happening in the universe, so to speak. Right. But I feel as though nothing is wrong with getting a second or a third opinion. Nothing is wrong with just being like, is the vibe the same, or am I getting completely a different message? Because if you're getting a different message, then you're like, huh, that makes me kind of sit up and take, you know, notice. So I have no problem with that. Hmm.
Good. I feel better about myself because sometimes it feels a little excessive. So you know?
Did that resonate with you?
That reading? Mm-hmm. Yes, very much so. I mean, I think that this year, no matter what has been thrown at all of us, I really wanted this year to be a leveling up year. And before all of this happened, all of this quarantine and all of that, I mean, I really just sort of was dead set on pushing through what I thought were obstacles that I was really holding myself back from being my full self. And so it's good to know that I'm at least on the right path. And I hope that, you know, without leaving people in my wake, because that's not really my, that's not really my jam, but I would like to be more and better and reach all of those goals and achievements that I've been striving for. So, and when you said hard work, I mean, I almost started crying. I was like, ugh, it just feels like I have been working so hard. I don't know how prepared I feel right now, but I hope that when the opportunity comes to me that I can, you know, grab hold of it in a way that behooves me.
I have to say, like, one of my favorite sayings is start before you're ready. Mm. I mean, when are we ever really ready? I mean, I've had times where I've like literally been in a bathing suit. I've climbed to the top of the diving board. Like I am ready to jump and I am not ready. So it's like, what else do I need to do to be ready? Sometimes you just have to jump, you know?
Yeah. So right. True. So true. Katie, did that resonate for you? What she said about your charm?
For you? Oh, my charm.
Talk about me more if you want.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think, you know, we're both in a similar situation with that, you know, and feeling like, yeah, I just feel like I'm at a stage in life where the responsibilities are high, both at work and at home. But there is a lot of, like, as you said, privilege and sort of gain from that, which is often realized, but often, you know, often tough at the same time.
It's
so
tough.
Yeah.
It is tough. It's funny though, you know, being a mom is the hardest job, but I think if you ask your kids, I think it is the most glamorous job. I think that like whenever kids play dress up or, you know, it's like everybody wants to be the mom because they think that moms have all the power. So you wear that crown in your personal life as much as you wear it in your home life. And I feel as though psychologically you've got them.
Oh yeah. Katie is definitely the queen. We were
sitting at the dinner table and my 3-year-old son, it came up somehow, but I have a 3-year-old son and he said something like, daddy's the boss. And my now 8-year-old daughter was like, no, he's not. Mommy's the boss.
That is
so funny, their interpretation of, I don't know, you know, but and then she, you know, because she sees me at work and she's like, you're the boss of everyone here, aren't you? And I was like, well, I don't really like to talk about it like that. but
it's true.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting what kids see, you know, it's like what's important to them. They're very transparent.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Truth serum right there. So we do this every episode. What, Dina Barron, are you obsessed with right now?
Well, as I was mentioning to you, interestingly, you know, now that we are kind of like in this sheltering at home and like new normal, the things that I'm obsessed with are a little bit different than the things that I used to be obsessed with. So definitely. I'm a little bit obsessed, and I do think that I'm not alone in this, with our governor, Andrew Cuomo.
Hey-o!
And I love the Cuomo brothers.
Do you see us together? See that are the cards saying that Andrew and I will be...
Hey, you didn't ask that, Katie. I mean, excuse me, you didn't ask that, Sarah.
No, I know.
Wait a minute. Did you guys see the interview on CNN with the brothers?
I didn't... Was it recent?
It was like last week, I think, Chris interviewed Andrew, and it's so great. You should go back and try to watch it. It was one of the best moments on TV that I've seen in a long time, because... You know, obviously our governor is a very serious person, and Chris is a serious person too. And they had this like a dynamic that was clear that they were, you know, brothers, and Chris as the younger brother was really egging on Andrew. And it was just, I've never seen anything like it, where you have the sibling rivalry and playfulness associated with these very serious people during a very serious time. And it was really an interesting and funny dynamic. I would recommend watching
that. I think that we could use that. Like, we need a little bit of laughter. We need a little bit of, you know, something else injected into it, which will lead me to my second thing that I'm obsessed with, is somebody led me to this series called Unorthodox.
Yes!
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. So it's only 4 episodes.
Yeah, I saw it. I'm
on episode 4. I haven't started episode 4.
Oh, my gosh. I can't stop thinking about the characters in this show, and I don't watch a tremendous amount of TV, so I really want value out of the shows that I watch, and Unorthodox totally packs a punch, so.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Did you watch it, Katie?
I've seen it, yeah. I've seen the whole thing.
And the other thing that I'm obsessed with, and this won't be a surprise to you ladies, is my exercise routine. Like, I got to get, and I become like a video junkie. I watch, you know, I'm on YouTube, I'm on Instagram, I'm on like the free Peloton app. Like, I have apps going like no one's business. And it's funny because I have 2 daughters, and like in our house, somebody's always working out. And we've become very casual here. So it's like, you know, my 14-year-old's running around with just a sports bra on. My son has decided to no longer wear a shirt. You know, so it's like my daughter and my son sometimes do like a dance routine at around 9 o'clock at night. I don't know. It's become like my whole family is very into our exercise. And like, I am obsessed with like finding the next new video sensation. I love it. I love to sweat. I love to work hard. And that's been an obsession of mine for quite some time. So that has not changed.
You know, programming note, we had you scheduled for this podcast recording literally 2 minutes, it seems like, before we were told to shelter in place. So are you finding that you're watching more TV now? Are you finding that, you know, this exercise obsession, maybe you're doing more of it, not maybe in terms of the variety, but, you know, obviously the Andrew Cuomo thing might be a little bit newer.
But you know what? I'll tell you what I'm doing. April is my birthday month.
Yay.
And I feel
when
like...
When is it?
When? April 21st. So
Oh my God. Here's
the thing. What better thing to do on your birthday month than to give a gift? So I feel like, what is my gift? My gift is tarot and readings. My gift is coaching and working with people and helping people through transitions. So what I've done, and actually after we record this call, I'm going to be offering a free tarot class. I have 2 special offers for the month of May. For coaching, I'm offering my coaching starter package of 3 sessions for 50% off. So normally $300, it's now $150. And my tarot offer for your listeners is 20% off individual readings by phone or by Zoom. Just use the code OBSESSED, all lowercase. And all of these can be found on my website, which is www.dinabarron.com. So last week I had about 12 people on the call. Half of them I did not know. And awesome. Today alone, I received a whole bunch of new people that reached out, and I invited all the people from last week. So I feel like, you know, it's growing a little bit. And honestly, it's just to connect. It's to put a smile on people's faces. It's fun. Just like you learned something through that crown image. We're going to talk about images and symbolism in the tarot tonight. And I've also been offering on Thursday a free coaching call, which is just like I throw out a topic and we discuss. Like one of the first times that I had the call, I talked about those five stages of grief. And then The next call, I'm like, I found out a sixth stage. And I told him about that. So I felt like, you know, I'm just here to use my open heart, to use this place of love that I'm coming from, to bring some happiness and a smile to the faces of people that are struggling and finding it hard right now. So I don't watch as much TV because I feel as though I'm using my time to connect and just really find something more positive out there for the people that are having a hard time.
That is that's a perfect place to end, but just a real quick side note, I will not be spending my birthday month giving gifts. I will be receiving them.
Gifts.
So August, everybody,
be prepared.
Dina is an angel from heaven. I am her anti called the devil. but we will definitely put that info on our Instagram.
Dina, what's your Instagram handle?
It is my name, just at Dina Barron.
Okay, Barrin. Okay, cool.
Yes. Thank you.
I can't thank you enough. This was such a perfect, this is exactly what I needed for this pandemic.
Yeah. Well, you ladies are bringing a lot of laughter and you're doing your part as well. So keep doing what you're doing. I love it. Your podcast is a lot of fun.
Oh, that means the world.
So fun to talk to you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.